Haley.
Dad's feet. Wait, cat pee.
You're out of time.
But
I'm sorry. See you again next week for...
That's squirrel.
Odor Events, the show that really stinks.
Want to get rid of the odor events in your home? Start using Citrus Magic. The strength of its citrus makes odors disappear and replaces them with the fresh scent of natural citrus. Citrus Magic. Use the non-aerosol spray for odor events and the solids for 24/7 odor control.
The investigation's continuing into the deadly blast in Manchester, England. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
This means that their assessment is not only that an attack remains highly likely, but that a further attack may be imminent.
Prime Minister Theresa May saying the concern remains that the suicide bomber responsible for the attack on Monday was part of a larger network which might want to strike again. And several arrests have been made of people police want to talk to in connection with the blast.
Armed police officers responsible for duties such as guarding key sites will be replaced by members of the armed forces, which will allow the police to significantly increase the number of armed officers on patrol in key locations.
Well, while this story under no good deed goes unpunished, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones in hot water for giving free football tickets to about 200 North Little Rock, Arkansas police officers. The Arkansas Ethics Commission says the giveaway violates the laws on gifts to public servants. Jones says he was just trying to salute the police where he grew up. USA Radio News.
I'm KFC's Extra Crispy Colonel, and you're the extra busy regular person who has to make dinner for a family of four. But you can shirk that responsibility because my Extra Crispy $20 fill-up from KFC contains 8 pieces of freshly double-breaded Extra Crispy Chicken, 4 biscuits, 2 orders of mashed potatoes, and a side of coleslaw for just $20. That'll feed them. KFC, it's extra crispy good.
Pricing and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
President Trump has hired an attorney to represent him in the special prosecutor's investigation. Here's more from Mark Mayfield.
Multiple media outlets report the president has hired trial lawyer Mark Kasowitz. The New York-based Kasowitz has represented Trump for more than 15 years. During the campaign, Kasowitz threatened to sue the New York Times over a story about women who accused Trump of inappropriately touching them. He also assisted in the defense of fraud claims against Trump University.
The city of Los Angeles wants to get more people dependent on food stamps. Here's Jason Campadonia.
The L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted Tuesday to create a special unit to boost enrollment in the state's CalFresh food stamp program. Officials say the idea is to ease pressure on area food banks and secure nearly $2 billion in federal funding. They also say the increased participation will result in a $2 billion bump in economic activity in the county. The vote happened the same day President Trump released his proposed budget, looking to make cuts in the food stamp programs nationwide. I'm Jason Campadonia.
Mega corporation Microsoft is buying a cybersecurity firm. The firm Hexadite is being sold to Microsoft for $100 million. The deal announced this morning gives the software giant an asset that provides technology to automate responses to cyber attacks. Hexadite says increases in productivity and lower costs for businesses will be the result. Hexadite headquarters in Boston and has its research and development center in Israel. In January, Microsoft said it would invest $1 billion a year in cybersecurity. USA Radio News.
And good afternoon, folks. You know what that time is. That's the sound and the time of modern design. I'm very lucky today to have in studio as my guest, returning guest, Bruce Brodack, and he is of Flemington Fan and Lighting. He's been in the area for many years, and he is our go-to guy when it comes to all things lighting, fans, and also about all different types of light. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Good to see you again. You've been on Modern Design, I think, probably this is your third time, I believe.
That is correct.
So, and always giving us updated and wonderful information. But for those of you who are just learning about Bruce for the first time, why don't you give me a little history of your impetus into the business and also your connection with Flemington, because you've been in multiple locations and you've been doing this for an awfully long time.
Well, we've been Flemington Light and Fan for about 25 years. We've been in town for that length of time. We've had other stores throughout the state. We were affiliated with Fanfare selling just ceiling fans, and we still carry every major manufacturer of ceiling fans. And our expertise lies in the area of ceiling fans, lighting products, accessories, ancillary items. And we cover the decorating aspect, things that people are usually not aware of that they should be. And we help them find the right size, the right look, the right lumens, everything that goes unnoticed when people look at lighting. It's not just a one-stop, easy deal. When you walk to a Home Depot store, you're not really getting, or a box store, I should say, you're not getting the attention that lighting demands. And we kind of cover those bases.
That's wonderful. Okay, well, let's take a look at today's weather, and we'll go to a couple commercials, and we'll really head into the show, because today I want to really focus on lighting itself, the different type of bulbs. But taking a look at today's forecast, the National Weather Service is telling me that currently we have overcast skies with 70 degrees. This afternoon, it will remain mostly cloudy. Tonight, there'll be an 80% chance of first cloudiness and then showers. On Thursday, it's going to be an 80% chance of showers. Thursday night, a 60% chance of showers. On Friday, this is the holiday weekend, Bruce. Scattered showers, 40% with a high of 74. On Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 55. And up in the air about the rest of the weekend. So, well, we'll have to work on our house. It's a good time to come to Flemington Fan and Lighting and take a look. We're going to do a couple of quick commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer and contractor for the past 20 years. I do have a location right here in Flemington, New Jersey at 1 U.S. Highway 31 Flemington. I'm in the Kitchen Expo Plaza in with Rugs to Riches, and we have everything from wonderful pieces of furniture and area rugs and accessories and wonderful candles and so on at wonderful prices, often up to 40% off the regular retail stores. To check out Maven Hill Designs, contact me anytime at 908-884-0770. 908-884-0770. Well, if you're just tuning in, my guest today happens to be Bruce Brodack. I'm saying your last name right, Brodack?
That's correct.
The owner of Flemington Fan and Lighting, and he is really my guru of all things lighting. Bruce and I recently, for those of you who are following me on social media, I am redoing a hotel in New Providence called the Murray Hill Inn, and we're doing quite a big renovation. Right now, we're working on the ballroom space, and Bruce was instrumental in helping me get beautiful lighting fixture chandeliers, if you will, sort of a drum chandelier for the space. But it had to be, the scale had to be right because we didn't have a lot of height, and it really worked out well, don't you think?
I do. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it really does look quite nice. So I want to get into lighting, and I want to talk about a couple things. We talked a little bit about your history and how long you've been in Flemington. Were you at more than two locations? Because I remember you at Fanfare, which was in that Turntable Village, right?
We had a store in Turntable Junction.
Junction, right.
And we also had a store in Main Street, actually right next door to this building.
Oh, really?
It was called, yeah. We had that for about 5 years.
Okay. So you've been in multiple locations.
We've been in multiple locations in town.
Right.
And our newest location, we've been in for 4 years. It's the largest of the locations.
It's a really big store. And for those of you who remember when we had Capitol lighting also in Flemington. There's not a lot of lighting options, and you really are, for that general area, you really are the best resource for that. And you have, I don't know how many square feet your facilities are, but they're pretty big.
Yeah, they are.
And it's easy because it's not in town, so you have, you know, parking, and it's
ample parking.
Easy to get in and out of and so on, which is terrific. So how did you get involved in lighting in the first place? Was it something that was in your family, or what happened that you got involved in lighting?
No, as I said earlier, we were fanfare, selling,
right,
strictly ceiling fans. We morphed into lighting.
But how did you start with fans is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. I always say what the spark is where you got involved with something, as becoming an accountant or a lawyer or doing something different with your life, or a race car driver.
I was going for my MBA.
Oh, you were. See, and I was not off base with that, was I?
You were not.
Okay.
And I did a thesis on ceiling fans at that time.
You're kidding me.
No, at that time there was a major energy crisis.
Right.
There were lines. The cost of fuel was escalating.
Sure.
And a friend of mine was selling fans in Hawaii. And sent me a brochure. I looked at it and I said, "Wow, they sell. They're selling fans. They're comfortable. They create ambiance.
Right.
They provide light. They have warranties, which lighting did not have at the time.
Right.
And they can cut air conditioning and heating costs.
Right.
I got to look into this further.
Right.
Which I did.
Uh huh.
And we started out with Hunter fans, which were the gold medal.
Right.
At that
time. The premium. The
right.
Gold, right. The gold standard.
Which is not the case today.
Right.
Company's been sold, and
sure.
So there are much finer fan companies specializing in fans.
Sure.
And in the 90s, we morphed into lighting because lighting was getting popular. People were not just putting up very, very
generic
fixtures that were everywhere, and people were kind of designing interiors around lighting.
See, I feel that lighting is really art, don't you think?
It's art, and it's the jewels of decorating. It you got one spot on the ceiling, for
sure.
Example, in the kitchen,
right?
You got the same square footage on the ceiling that you have on a floor,
right?
With one shot, so
right.
You might as well get the best of both worlds, being lighting and decor and an ambiance that the old standard lights never provided.
Exactly. And I think more and more people are conscious of their homes and their lighting and so on. And it's good to see that people recognize that now. It's not just the functionality of lighting. Because really, when it comes down to it, there's not that much to lighting. There's the metal. There's the element of the bulb. There's really not a lot to lighting. It is the artistry that makes it so special, I think.
It's the artistry and it's the materials that compose the light.
Exactly.
That make all the difference.
Exactly. Well, the reason I brought you in today, not that we don't want you to have you just to know what's going on, but I really want to discuss something which is very concerning to most of my clients, and I know I'm completely, completely confused about it, and that's all the different types of light there is today and all the different type of bulbs. Now, what was the year where they started, there was a thing that people were hoarding the old incandescent bulbs because they were going to not make them anymore? And when did that happen, and what was the reason they were getting rid of incandescent bulbs?
The reason they're getting rid of incandescent bulbs was the energy consumption factor.
It was just too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now an incandescent bulb, for example, I'll make it very, 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 very simple and understandable. A 100-watt incandescent bulb uses 100 watts of light,
right.
100 watts of energy,
right.
100 watts of heat.
Right.
So it's a very, very hot
bulb.
Light because of the filaments inside and the gases.
Is there a danger to that?
No, not a danger, just a lot of heat. So if you have incandescent lighting in your kitchen, and let's say you have 20 recessed cans, 20 recessed lights that are
right.
In your ceiling,
right,
and you have 75-watt bulbs in there, and they're incandescent, well, you're providing 75 watts times 20.
Right.
It's a lot of heat.
Yeah, so it's very inefficient.
It's a lot of cost.
Yeah.
Then, a couple of years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, the government mandated CFLs, which are compact fluorescents.
Okay.
And a lot of them, you know what they look like. They were the squirrely bulbs.
Right. But you know what's funny? And I'm going to talk a lot about that because I know there's so much change. I feel the change happened quickly. Initially, when I would talk to people about fluorescence, the thought they got of was, number one, it was the long tube, almost like a roller shade. And that light, when you turned it on, always made that sort of that zapping noise. And when I tell people fluorescent, that's the image that I get. What happened to fluorescent to make it more approachable? What was the change? I mean, isn't fluorescent basically fluorescent?
Fluorescent is fluorescent. However, fluorescent always used less energy to run the bulb. So you were
taking so long to warm up?
Was a matter of the ballasts. Yeah, they had ballasts, and the ballasts had to get warm and had to electrify the light bulb and the gases.
Right.
So the compact fluorescents for lamps looked like squirrely little regular bulb. The base was the same. So we're talking about a medium base bulb.
Sure.
Incandescent.
So what it looked like at the bottom was like a regular screw-in lamp, but then regular it was a squiggle.
Right. Okay. That's called a medium base bulb.
Medium base bulb. So we're really, take notes, guys, here. I'm taking notes.
This or an A bulb.
Okay. I want to write that down.
Okay. So
I'm really doing this.
So they're called medium base bulbs, and they're used in lamps. You could use them outside for outdoor lights. You could use them, but they're just medium base bulbs.
So if you go to was that the sort of the first, what was the first round of changing out bulbs?
It was one of the first rounds of changing
out
bulbs.
So are those bulbs considered passé today? Because when I see somebody's house and they have a chandelier and the chandelier has those sort of bulbs, they just look ridiculous.
Yeah, they do not look very kind.
So that was sort of the first round after the fluorescents went out, and that's what you got.
That's one of the that's correct.
Okay.
Now, they started to cover those bulbs with a shield. And you could get a reflector bulb, which is a bulb that you would put in a recessed fixture.
Okay.
And it would be a compact fluorescent.
Okay.
Okay, so it wouldn't look like a fluorescent bulb, but it would still have a shield or a cover on it.
Okay.
And it would look similar to a regular bulb.
So did the cover mask what was underneath, and
yes.
It was that underneath? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And again, one of the drawbacks was the starting efficiency of the bulb. They'd be very dim when you turned them on.
Right.
And then they would get brighter and brighter.
So it would take a while for them to warm up.
A little while to get up to where you want to see in the room.
Okay.
They were also energy efficient, so they were more efficient than an incandescent bulb.
Mm-hmm.
So you were still saving a tremendous amount of energy utilizing these bulbs.
So
the compact fluorescents. And one more thing.
Sure.
In the ceiling fan business, the government mandated that all ceiling fan manufacturers, when they sold lights for ceiling fans, included CFL bulbs in a standard fixture. That's a medium-based fixture.
Right. CFL. Compact fluorescent.
Compact fluorescent.
Light. Okay, great. There's a lot of acronyms, so I want to break it down further because I think it's very important. And I talked about on my blog this week. Every week my blog corresponds with a show that we're going to do live on Wednesdays. And I talked a lot about just light in general and how interesting it is. And you could create, I can create a very beautiful room, but if you can't see it and you don't see it at its best, what does it matter? So that's like taking the most beautiful picture and then not developing it properly. You're not going to get a good image. So that's
exactly
what lighting
right.
is all about. So I really want to break it down. So we started with incandescents to begin with. They sort of are non-efficient. Then we went to the medium-based bulbs, and that's sort of that squiggle look. And then the CFL. Is that what they still use today, or is something trumped that? I shouldn't use that word anymore. Did something come after that?
Well, they're still using CFLs.
Okay.
Just go back one step.
Sure.
The medium-based bulbs is what people consider a standard light bulb.
Oh, really?
And it's the base of that. Now, medium-based bulbs come in a variety of different type bulbs with a medium base.
Okay.
But the standard, it's called an Edison medium-based bulb.
Okay.
So there are different varieties and different types of medium-based bulbs, depending upon the person's need. The one important thing in this transition that you were talking about is the type of light that these bulbs emit.
Correct.
They could be very harsh. They could be very mellow. They could be warm. They could be cool. They could be a lot. They cover a broad spectrum.
Is it wrong to generalize in the fact that when the first bulbs that were coming out that were fluorescent, they really had sort of a cool or blue cast in the beginning exclusively?
Fluorescents were either warm or cool. You could get either one.
Oh, so there were
warmer.
Okay.
People that walk in my store, and I mention the new type bulb, the LED, believe that it's a white light and it's a harsh light, something like the light cast by a halogen headlight on an automobile.
So maybe hard on your eyes?
Very hard on your eyes.
Sure.
But that's the conception, and it's a misconception.
Okay.
So just like with regular bulbs, you could get them with varying degrees of warmth. Mm-hmm. That's called the Kelvin.
Okay.
Kelvin.
Kelvin is Kelvin a measurement. Is a measurement of?
Measurement of the intensity of the brightness, the whiteness of,
okay,
of the light. The higher the number, the whiter the light.
Was that interesting?
So when you go to 8,000, 9,000, you're getting almost a very, very, very light, almost a blue light.
So with the high, what tasks would you want to have a high Kelvin ratio? What where outside light or not, what lights would you want? What applications?
What areas would you want?
Right.
At the light, depending upon the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you want to read a book.
Right.
And you need light.
Right.
And you would use something with a higher Kelvin.
Okay.
Brighter the light.
What about floodlights outside at night?
I don't like really white blue light at night.
Okay. Why is that?
Number of reasons. My personal opinion is that it creates light pollution.
Okay.
Most fixtures today, you want to have what's called dark sky, which really helps and aids in the preservation of darkness.
Okay.
And the light is spread where it's needed, as opposed to where it's just extraneous and it just destroys nightness.
I understand. So the light would be more focused then.
Yes.
Oh, I get that. So better task to do
now,
something.
Now, the difference, if you have a security situation, you have a lot where you want to provide light and security, you could intensify the light by a higher Kelvin,
right,
and a little wider beam spread.
Hmm.
But around the home, I like it comfortable and warm and still secure.
Bruce, we're going to take up a couple of quick commercials. I have so many questions for you. And then we'll open up our lines to listeners if they have some questions. Take some
Look
quick commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. My live guest in-house is Bruce Brodeck of Flemington Fan and Lighting. And we're talking about specifics specifically the types of bulbs. And Bruce is doing a great job in educating all of us on the different types of bulbs. And then we'll go in with the different types of light that they emit. But I want to sort of be able to have people after today go into your lighting store or just a general lighting store or home improvement store and say, I want a medium-based bulb or I want a CFL, and be just more confident in the terminology, which we're all still doing. So we talked a little bit about the incandescent bulbs. In fact, can you still purchase incandescent bulbs?
You can still purchase incandescent bulbs. Not the original regular A bulbs because they're restricted.
Okay.
But you could still get candelabra incandescent bulbs, which again are hot.
Okay.
And they have a very, very short life.
When you say candelabra bulbs, you mean the bulbs for a chandelier, the teardrop type bulbs? Is that what you mean?
The teardrop, yeah. The ones that go into chandeliers.
Okay.
If you have a 10 light or a 6 light or an 8 light.
Sure.
They're the smaller base bulbs.
And they would be referred to as candelabra bulbs.
Candelabra base bulbs.
Really good to know. I'm writing all this down. This is very interesting to me. So, and hopefully our listeners. So we have the incandescent bulbs that are still available in certain cases. We have the CFLs and we have the medium based bulbs. Are there any other type bulbs out there on the market today, and what would they be if in fact there are?
You've heard of the LED bulbs?
Correct.
Richard? Yeah. Okay. Well, LED bulbs are the, I'm not saying the rage, but they are the most popular bulbs for a number of reasons.
And what does LED stand for our listeners?
Light emitting diodes.
Oh, good. Okay. Light emitting diodes. Okay.
And the LED bulb is probably 90% more efficient than an incandescent bulb.
What's the physical reason for that?
Because of the diodes. They're just a different type of driver inside the bulb. So they have these elements that emit light.
Sure.
And they provide the exact same light as an incandescent bulb. As again, I said, about 90% less. Less power.
Okay.
Less power consumption.
Sure.
So if you want to get 100 watts of light,
right,
instead of paying 100 watts for that particular energy source, you'd be paying 9 watts.
Wow. So much more
significantly
efficient.
Significantly less energy consumptive. The second reason why I absolutely am a proponent of those bulbs. They have life expectancies of 25,000 to 30,000 hours of life.
Is that because they're using up less to begin with, so the life expectancy?
Filaments.
Okay.
The filaments have a much longer standing life.
Wow.
So that's 20 years. That's 22 years.
That's just amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
So is that why the LED bulbs are much more expensive?
They were at one time much more expensive, but the price keeps dropping and dropping and dropping.
Isn't that great?
The next thing that people need to be aware of,
uh-huh,
just like with any other product,
uh-huh,
there are different types and different qualities of LED bulbs. Just because a bulb is LED doesn't mean it's a good LED.
Right.
So you have to be very careful of the companies that you buy the LEDs from. Since everybody now is bringing in bulbs.
Sure. We don't want to talk about bad companies, but any companies that you might recommend for LED or?
Bulbright, companies that have been around for a long time are a safe way to go.
Sure.
Philips, Westinghouse.
Right.
Kodak is now making bulbs. And
isn't that their reincarnation? They're making bulbs?
They're
That's
making
interesting.
Bulbs. They were one of the first. And they're probably the most decorative bulb. A lot of the LEDs have big white porcelain bases.
Yes, I see that now.
We have them. We sell them. We don't recommend them.
Why is that?
Because they're ugly.
Quite no, they're funny. They're
actually
funny looking.
You saw them in the store. They are funny looking.
Yeah.
They're very large.
Sure.
They have almost a CFL kind of an inside.
Right.
Which defeats the purpose of a decorative bulb. They're not decorative whatsoever.
At all. Yeah. Right. We're going to go to a short news break, and then we'll be back with more. I have tons of questions for you. And when we come back from the news break, I will open the call to listeners.
Keep them coming.
Okay. We'll do a quick news break, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Very sadly, I can confirm that one of the victims is a serving police officer.
A British police spokesman confirming that a British police officer is among the dead after the bombing outside an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. The spokesman went on to say, due to the volume of injuries and deaths, it's going to take a while before the names can be released to the public.
Due to the number of victims, the Home Office postmortems are likely to take 4 to 5 days. After this, we will be in a position to formally name the victims.
Lawmakers digging through President Trump's big budget proposal for 2018. At a House hearing, White House Budget Chief Mick Mulvaney said his team went through the massive federal budget line by line to determine what taxpayers should pay for. Trump's roughly $4 billion blueprint makes deep cuts in social programs. It boosts defense and border spending. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Okay, and we are back with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio. Our guest happens to be Bruce Brodack, and we're trying to cover in 1 hour's time a lot of information. So Bruce was telling me when we were on the news break about the heat that bulbs emit and the amount of Kelvin. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, and you were telling us about on the bulbs there's a number of the amount of heat. Why don't you tell our listeners?
It's not the heat, it's the intensity.
Energy?
It's the intensity of the light.
Okay.
The brightness of the light. The Kelvin, and people misunderstand this, they think all LEDs are all...
They're the same?
Yeah. And, you know, they think of it as a very bright, unattractive light that most people don't want. They want warmth in their kitchens. And
sure.
Especially their dining rooms and other parts of the house.
I would think in general, in terms of somebody's interior, wouldn't they always want a soft, warm light as opposed to a cool light?
Depends upon the task at hand.
Okay.
For example, if you're reading, as I said earlier,
sure,
you want a brighter light in a reading lamp.
So is a brighter light a cool light? Is that how you would sort of justify it?
A brighter light would be cooler. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It would be more intense white to the light.
Sure.
2700 is a pretty good standard to go by if you want warm light or a little lower. Once you get below 2500 Kelvin,
okay,
then you're getting into yellow. I mean, and yellow is not the greatest thing. The 27 and the 3000 accentuates the colors that you have.
Okay.
It's not going to distort colors for the most part.
Wow.
So if you have a very modern kitchen,
uh-huh,
and it's very, very bright white,
right,
perhaps you want a little more Kelvin to show off the white of the environment.
Of the environment, of the clean environment.
If you have a little warmer colors, then I would drop the Kelvin and go for something around 2700. 2,600, 3,000 the most.
Wow. See, that's why we need to come to somebody like you, Bruce, and we can say, okay, give us the right bulbs. Now, you do sell, as I recall, you do sell a lot of these bulbs at your place specifically.
We do sell
and
our bulbs.
And yourself and Terry and the nice people that you have there can sort of guide us towards the right type of bulb.
For sure.
Why don't you tell us again where you're located and also your phone number?
We are located in the Hunter & Commons Shopping Center, which is almost diagonally across from the inspection station in Flemington. The address is 176 Route 20231, 202 and 31 are the same roads there.
Sure.
We are next to Retro Fitness, and we are also next to Fred Bean's Toyota.
Right.
So that's our location. Our telephone number is 908-782-8288.
And then also you have a great website. So
our website is, FlemingtonLighting.com. It's a pretty good source to view product, and you have any questions, you can certainly ask. We have wish lists and a lot of product details.
Sure.
Can be found on that
very
site.
Information. Very good information. Sometimes I go to your site just to get ideas, which I think is a great way to before you come into the store. You have a lot of information online there, so it's a good resource. And also, finally, I wanted to say about the store that you really do offer internet pricing.
Oh, we do. The internet is a pretty good exponent of prices overall, and we meet internet prices, so customers can be assured that the price that they're paying is as low as you can get anything for.
Well,
but
can
we provide the service.
Sure,
and no site does.
Right. It's a combination of the terrific service which you're given, then also the best price, which is terrific. I'm going to open our phone lines now if anybody has any questions for Bruce or myself about lighting, about the different types of bulbs, about different applications or so on. They can call us right here in studio live. It's now 2:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call us at 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Bruce, don't feel bad if we don't get any calls during this hour. It is web-based, so often more people listen to us in the podcast, but we will continue. I have a list here of questions to go through with you
because
there's a lot to cover here. I want to talk about general applications because I think you're very good at saying, okay, you know, yet we were talking about I'm working on doing a bar now, a commercial bar, and I want to sort of backlight the bar. And Bruce had made some wonderful just general suggestions, not even seeing the space yet, of the type of light we'd use. So I'm going to throw out some things to you, and I'm going to get your just general idea. Of course, specifically, you'd want to see the space, but general ideas of what type bulbs you look. And I want to start by, I'd probably do more recessed cans now than I ever have in my life. A lot of our area here in Hunterdon County and Somerset County and even Union County, a lot of the homes here are colonials and split levels. A lot of development went on in the late 1950s and 60s and so on, the early 70s, where most of the house, the front rooms of the house, had just lamp light. There really wasn't necessarily overhead light and not sufficient light. So as those homes have turned over to the millennials and they're moving into the space and they have computers and all sorts of things where they need more specific light, there's always a deficit in the amount of light in a space. So when a younger person or a millennial takes over a split level from the 60s or a center hall colonial that was built in the early 70s, from front to back, we usually, especially in those rooms, tend to have the living room be the biggest room in the space. And then we're always putting in cans. So let's talk about recessed lights, or cans as they're called. I think they've changed a lot themselves. The sizing has changed. It's gone through a lot of transition. So let's just talk about cans or recessed lights in general.
Okay. Cans, recessed lights, come in a variety of different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And provided we know the size of the room, the height of the ceiling, we recommend different apertures. That's the width of the actual can.
Would now, you say that 5-inch would be sort of a generic standard now? Because people actively ask me for that.
Well, 6-inch is what everybody is
used to using. Right.
They're very large.
Right.
What you wanna light is a very, very important factor. A lot of people don't recognize that if you put 4 lights in the corners of a room,
right,
you're not going to generate the amount of light that one would think is needed. 4 lights in a room would be accent lighting. Now, let's just take a step back.
Sure.
And when you light a room, as you know, we layer lighting. So it's not just from one source.
Right, because if you have a room and you have a light in each corner, for the center of your room is going to be dark, right?
Yeah. Absolutely dark. A lot of people light fireplaces with recess cans, the smaller aperture bulbs, and
sure,
they try to spread the light.
Sure.
But to properly light an area, whether it be a kitchen, especially a kitchen, or a living room,
right,
is to layer lighting. You want different types of lighting at different levels.
Sure.
To light a room properly. For example, can lights or recess lights.
Right.
You would use lamps. You would use floor lamps.
Sure.
And maybe a sconce or two.
Sure.
So the room has different levels of light to be used at different times or simultaneously, depending upon the level of light that you're looking for.
We'll go into the kitchen specifically because I have some questions for you. But let's go back to, let's say you buy that split level and the biggest room is the living room and there currently is no light. We're going to want to add some cans to that. Okay. Is there sort of a rule of thumb how many cans you should add to a space based upon square footage? Is there a general rule or something you go by?
There is. There's a number of different ways you can utilize recessed lights in the room. You want to use the aperture and the number of light that'll create even light over
throughout
the base of the room. Now, the level of light that you're going to get at different levels depends upon the size of the can and the type of the bulb that you use.
Right.
Sometimes called the beam spread of the bulb.
Okay.
So the narrower the spread, the less amount of light you're going to get in a certain area, the more cans you'll need.
Now, here's what I've seen happen through my 20-year career. Initially, when I was telling people to add recessed light, a lot of them were very skeptical about doing that. They felt that in the back of their house, in the functional rooms, kitchen and family room, it was okay. They would allow that. But in the living room and dining room areas, they didn't want that. That has changed, and people are allowing me to do that now. But in my early years, when I was adding a can, they were typically 6 inches. Then it went through a phase where people wanted a small, I don't know why, but they wanted a smaller can, like a 3-inch can, and people were specifically asking me for that. Now I find that that's gone away, and people are saying, we want about a 5-inch can. Did things just sort of trend? Because what you just told me was you're going to get more light from a bigger unit. So,
yeah, you'll use less cans, but they're more obtrusive.
Right.
The wider the can, you don't want a moon space. You don't want these gigantic pockets of light.
Right.
In most ceilings with 8-foot ceilings.
Sure.
Okay. Most homes with 8-foot ceilings.
Right.
So the higher the ceiling.
Right.
Again, you could use 6-inch cans, the larger the can, but that's for very, very high ceilings. The lower your ceiling is,
right,
the less obtrusive you want the light to be. And as a result, the cans became smaller,
right,
less of a diameter.
Right.
And a 4-inch is what we're seeing is the most popular size presently.
So in a perfect world, if I was going to ask you at a new construction what you would put, you'd probably say 4-inch can.
On an 8-foot ceiling.
On an 8-foot ceiling. Okay.
Now, once the ceilings go up,
sure,
if you have a 9-foot ceiling,
right,
you could certainly use a larger can if you want, maybe a 5-inch.
Right.
I still would not go to the 6 on a 9-foot ceiling.
When I look at 6-inch cans, now they look a little dated to me.
Yes, but you're looking more at the trim of the light,
right,
rather than the actual can. So
correct,
you could reduce the size, the overall size of that by a different type of trim. For
right.
example, if you do have a 6-inch can in the ceiling and you want a minimal amount of light coming through that, you would get what's called a pinpoint.
Okay.
And the light would come out of a very small aperture
on it. Okay.
But the light would not look or appear to be as large as you remember.
You know, in the early years, the trim kits and the back of the lights were not necessarily white. In fact, I remember a lot of them being silver. A lot of them, the baffle was black. And then it sort of transitioned. Now I basically see the baffle or the back and then the kit all being white, so it's seamless. When did that sort of transition, or how did that transition?
It transitioned basically in the 80s.
Okay.
People didn't want the obtrusiveness of a white ceiling with a black baffle.
Right.
However, if you had a darker ceiling.
Right.
And you wanted to keep it contained.
Consistent, right.
Yeah, then you would use a black baffle. Also, that absorbs the light. You could also get the interior of the trim.
Right.
In a chrome or a mirror finish.
Sure.
Or gold. Or brass or bronze or copper.
If you have a metal finish in that case, does that sort of magnify the light? What does that do to the light then?
It more reflection. mm-hmm. you'll get more light out of the that pocket.
Sure.
And it'll create more of a contrast.
Interesting.
More of a decorative aspect of it if you wanted to accentuate copper or silver.
Or those things.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple quick commercial messages. We'll be back with more of Bonner Design after these messages.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Come join us for the 4th Annual Huntington County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park, and Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Huntington County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Huntington County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Huntington County, Huntington Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit huntingtonchamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi, host of the show for about 3 years now. And my guest live in studio is Bruce Brodack, the owner of Flemington Fan and Lighting. And we are talking about lighting in different applications. We were talking about cans or hi-hats, as they're often called. I want to go to the kitchen lighting and what we talked about before and the different layers of lighting, as you say. So often in the kitchen, especially in the newer homes, we'll start with some ceiling lights that are often cans that are on dimmers. That's a big thing. I don't think I've ever put in a light without a dimmer. What do you think about that?
Dimmers are very important.
Dimmers are very important. I agree. And then usually there's so if there's a dining table, there's also a chandelier.
A cage light or something that's more decorative in nature, but still providing ample lighting.
And then often over the island now, especially in the later years, pendants have become very, very popular, don't you think?
Pendants or even chandeliers are used over islands today, yeah.
And then finally, there's usually an under-counter type lighting. Mm-hmm. And that's an area that I find there's so many new innovations, and I want to talk a little bit about under-counter lighting. I remember at one point people were using that sort of puck kind of light. It's evolved so much through the years. Now there's so many more sophisticated ways of lighting under the counter in a kitchen. Tell me what you recommend, what you've seen, and what you think works best.
Well, in the early days, people put fluorescent little fixtures.
Yes, and they would go zzz, and they would
buzz.
And they were actual little fluorescent bulbs.
They would buzz, they'd blink.
They were terrible.
And they were providing very, very white, bright light.
Right.
At different times.
Sure.
Again, the lighting varied.
Right.
Then we went to pucks.
Right.
And pucks, halogen pucks, were extraordinarily hot.
Oh, my God. If you accidentally touched it, you would burn yourself. Yeah.
Burn your fingers.
Right.
They would also burn cabinets.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Mm. They would create such hot, intense heat in the cabinet that you would get You would get almost burn marks in cabinets.
Wow.
So today, you could still get pucks, but pucks in varying degrees of light, varying types of light.
Right.
You could get pucks in LEDs.
Right.
You could get pucks in CFLs.
Right.
But again, it's a smaller, less heat intensive bulb, which are much safer.
Right.
Provide the same amount of light.
Right.
And increased longevity of the actual bulb, which is a pain if your bulbs are blowing out every couple of weeks.
Sure, especially if you keep them on too long, right, and forget about them. What about today? What would you say people are using today as the best source? You're building a brand new house. What am I going to go to? I'm going to call to Bruce and I'm going to say, I want you to do all my lights. What should I do underneath my counters? What would you recommend now, you think?
Well, there are different, there are a lot of wonderful LED lighting solutions.
Okay.
For under counter light.
Okay.
Depending upon the type of light that you need and the task,
sure,
that you're going to be using, whether if you're going to be doing a lot of prepping and,
right,
and you need light for this particular instance, you could use a much more a brighter Kelvin light in that area.
Okay.
Different types of LEDs, for example, just like when we were talking about different type of bulbs, there are different types of LED fixtures.
Sure.
You could use a self-contained fixture,
uh-huh,
which has everything contained in it. They look like the old type fluorescents, but they're not. They're much thinner,
mm-hmm,
but there's still a plastic cover over a 24-inch, 18-inch, whatever size that you need for that particular area. That's one type.
Mm-hmm.
The other types are tape lighting.
Okay.
You could put channels, which you could put the tape in the channel and creates a very even, very decorative look. You could get different levels of light, mm-hmm, different color light,
right,
off LEDs.
Sure.
And again, it just depends upon the size of the kitchen.
Right.
The amount of light that you need in that specific area of the kitchen.
Right.
They're dimmable. They're basically inches, not even inches. They're very minuscule. They're very, very they're very shallow.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't even see them.
Yeah, they don't reveal themselves because the cabinet has that little lip on the bottom, and you can contain them within that.
Right. I mean, they're less than a half an inch in thickness.
Sure.
And some are even thinner than that. They can go down to like an eighth of an inch, which is desirable because you don't want to see it. And again, the distance of the LEDs, of the diodes, and the cover that you put on them makes a big difference.
Sure.
So again, if anybody has any kind of questions about lighting their kitchen, they can come into the store either through make an appointment or just stop in and ask away. And most people bring in the dimensions,
right,
and either pictures or a design of the kitchen, and that's the best avenue to take.
Oh, I agree. Just being very prepared, and then,
mm-hmm,
this way you can give them the best advice.
Absolutely.
I want to transition a little bit to the other types of light in the little time that we have left, and that is I want to talk about fixtures, starting with flush mount fixtures, semi-flush mount fixtures, and then chandeliers and so on for the interior. And I want to start with flush mount fixtures. I think that flush mount fixtures, even in the past 5 to 7 years, have gotten so much better. And often when I'm dealing with older spaces, as I was with the hotel, I don't have a lot of room to do fixtures. In fact, I'm going to come back after we meet today. I'm going to come back because I need a flush mount fixture for a 1940s colonial, Georgian colonial, which has a fixture now that just it's too deep. I need something that's shallower, but something that has some presence to it. The rest of the house already has cans. So don't you think that flush mount fixtures have gotten more style to them?
Very much so. Style, size, look.
Right.
The lenses are different.
Sure.
Again, you could get flush mount fixtures. Now, when you say flush mount, you're talking about fixtures that have no drop. No drop whatsoever.
Correct.
They can be up to a half an inch. There's new LED. There's new LED fixtures that are almost parallel to the ceiling.
Right.
And they're called panels, and they provide ample light. And there's all There's no drop whatsoever. There's also much decorative drop flush mount pieces,
right,
depending upon the diameter of the size that you want and the look that you want.
Sure, and you know now the flush mount. Originally, the flush mount fixtures, there wasn't a lot of variety in the diameter, but now
right.
you can get a flush mount fixture that's really big in scale,
right.
which is kind of nice too. If you
right.
if you're stuck with a ceiling that's 8 feet or even sometimes less than 8 feet,
right. lighting has come a very very long way.
It really has, and it really is art. And people, I think people are demanding more, and I think the manufacturers are doing a very good job of giving us more.
They are.
Let's talk about. I'll let you do that.
Let me have one more thing to
sure.
that. There's also semi-flush.
Right, lighting. Which is what I was going to talk about next. Okay, go ahead.
And again, they're very close to the ceiling too, or they don't have to be.
Sure.
But the advantage of a semi-flush
right.
is that you'll get lighting beaming off the ceiling. You'll get some reflection from
right.
the ceiling in addition to the light underneath.
Exactly.
And they could be 7-8 inches off the ceiling, which is very compact. And again, a variety of styles and yeah. forms and finishes.
More than ever. For a while, there was a period of time that people were doing semi-flush mount lanterns. I was doing so many of bell jars
right.
and all different finishes and what they called a pumpkin and all that kind of stuff. They were very popular for a while. Not as much now, but they're still in classic homes. They're nice. I want to transition now to chandeliers because I see a very, very, very big change in formal chandeliers. In most of the houses I go in, I take out the Williamsburg brass 8-light chandelier in a dining room. Everywhere I go, and we're now doing a different type of fixture. I do a lot of drum fixtures, a lot of fixtures that have shades on them. Crystals are back, but done differently now. What are you seeing as trend? Are you seeing what I'm seeing about that sort of classic chandelier with the 8 arms and the candles changing out all the time?
Yeah, they're dropping like rocks. People are replacing the Williamsburg builder fixtures that
right.
that were put in by builders. And people kept them.
Right.
They put shades on them, and they're eliminating that.
Right.
Because they again, one there's one shot at the ceiling.
Right.
You might as well make it a decorative shot.
Yeah, make it a crescendo, something wonderful.
What we're finding is the materials that are being used in these chandeliers are much diversified.
Sure.
We're getting a lot of handmade, a lot of green material,
right.
a lot of recycled stuff that just looks wonderful. There's a company called Verilu's, which I believe I showed you a couple
sure.
of weeks ago. Really interesting forms, a lot of iron and metal.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of chrome now is coming
yeah.
back.
And I like chrome.
And you see a lot of linear fixtures, you
right.
know, with straight lines.
Right.
The absence of glass.
Oh, my God. Yeah, open lanterns, right?
Open
very
lanterns.
Popular.
Yep.
And also what you had said, cage chandeliers, things that look like they're in a cage are very popular
mm-hmm.
right now.
And we're finding that people are buying these fixtures without glass.
Right.
Easy to clean, easy to change bulbs, and,
yeah.
and the look.
It's sort of airy, right?
It's airy. And, yeah, there's no obstacles looking through them, through the parts of the room and at your company.
Bruce, believe it or not, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being us. Just give us your phone number one more time and the website.
It's Flemington Lighting and Fan, and our telephone number is 908-782-8288.
Well, thank you. You've given us a wealth of knowledge. I look forward to having you back again. And for my listeners, I do believe next week our guest is going to be Rucker's Landscape, and we're going to talk about your spring-summer landscape. Thank you for tuning in to Modern Design and following me these past 3 years. We look forward to going to video. We're going to be shortly adding the YouTube channel, and you'll get to see what we're doing. So stay tuned. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Very sadly, I can confirm that one of the victims is a serving police officer.
A British police spokesman confirming that a British police officer is among the dead after the bombing outside an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England. The spokesman went on to say, due to the volume of injuries and deaths, it's going to take a while before the names can be released to the public.
Due to the number of victims, the Home Office postmortems are likely to take 4 to 5 days. After this, we will be in a position to formally name the victims.
Lawmakers digging through President Trump's big budget proposal for 2018. At a House hearing, White House Budget Chief Mick Mulvaney said his team went through the massive federal budget line by line to determine what taxpayers should pay for. Trump's roughly $4 billion blueprint makes deep cuts in social programs. It boosts defense and border spending. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Alaroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single